Blog Talk Radio.
The Ata Ewakon, sacred wind, you are like the great mystery, moving in all places, in all people, in all things. You cannot be seen, yet we feel your presence and see your power in the dancing prairie grass and the flight of the eagle. Whisper to our spirits. Help us to find wisdom once again. We are made of earth, fire, water, wind. We share one earth, one sun, and one moon. Let us live together as one people. Help us, great mystery, to mend the sacred hoop, to heal our brokenness, and to find once more our place in the web of life.
My guest today is Star from Arizona. She's a wonderful person that I saw many years ago at a New Life Expo in New York, and I found her to be really exciting. So I'm looking forward to today's interview. I haven't seen her in years, so this is going to be exciting. Our call-in number is 347-237-5339. I want to point out Stages Wellness Holistic Center in Belleville. The chiropractor acupuncturist Bridget Liebarger is a very good person who works there. I also want to feature Prospectors in High Ridge, Missouri. They're a wonderful rock shop. Check them out. Prospectors in High Ridge, Missouri. You can look them up online. Also, Stages had some coffee called Java Zen. You can check out their website at javazen.co. It's a wonderful superfood coffee that makes you have no jitters. It makes you feel really good. And so that's our announcements. Again, our phone number is 347-237-5339. Hit one on the keypad, and we'll take your call. Second half, I'm going to bring Star to the show now and introduce her. We're really laid back, and we're going to hear her story and what all she wants to talk about, maybe events coming up, things she's doing. I've seen that she has 52 certifications, and she's really good at helping people find their path, their souls, you know, like their soul path. So I'm really excited to hear more from Star. Welcome to the show, Star. How are you today?
I'm fine, sweetie. Can you hear me?
Good. Yes,
great.
Ma'am, I can hear you.
I'm fine, and I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you. It's been a long time ago since I saw you speaking in person and all that good stuff, and I'd love to hear, you know, what all you want to talk about. I'm excited.
Well, first of all, I moved to Hot Springs, Arkansas, where all the crystals and all the waters are, and I've been living in a geodesic dome there. I have been teaching since 1958, so I will be 85 in a month or so. So I've been teaching for decades, and one of the things that I brought back from 13 different years of living with Kurandata shamans. I lived in the Congo with the Maasai, a couple of stints in a couple of different ashrams, and et cetera, et cetera. So personally what happened for me was I was so sexually abused that I ran around the world getting things to heal myself with, but the teachers weren't like, okay, we're going to just give you stuff to heal you. I had to learn all these other healing techniques, all these other different magical techniques, et cetera, et cetera. So when I reached the peak where I started healing myself, that I have years and years and years and years of techniques for the kidneys, the feet, magical, low magic, high magic, middle magic techniques. So I have had a very full lifetime. And what I brought to the United States from Mexico and my teacher Esperanza there is something called light language. And let's think about how the mind works. When I say the word rich, what do you think of?
Well, you know, some people say that the financial, the money prospect, but I really see abundant and prosperous being healthy and happy.
Right. And when I hear rich, I think of a very fine chocolate, and then I think of money. So, you know, people have many definitions in their head for the same word. So when we communicate with each other, we break down sacred geometry and we color it, or we keep the sacred geometry whole. So light language consists of over 144 shapes, platonic solids, Archimedean solids, Tauruses, Catalan solids that we color in over 144 colors into grids. The first grid is your basic seven chakra grid where you go through the materials and you read what each color does. Blue. What is the sound of blue? Two wolves howling at a full moon. What is the sound of blues, jazz, the color? So we go into opening up files in our brain for not only what a color looks like, but for the other sensory modes we have and define what that particular color says. So then the shape defines what the color set. So if you have a green sphere, and a sphere works in 360 degrees, you are equally away from your center at any point on the sphere. And let's say green sphere would be a good thing to use for healing. And and we work on to where we write a grid with 144 colors used in 144 different shapes, used in a wave grid, a DNA grid, at a high, with 144 shapes in this. You put this grid up where you can see it, and you look at it for 30 days, 6 months, and it works with you. This is something that is a 22nd generation, and I do have a list of the lineage that the people get when they graduate, and then they put their name under my name, and et cetera, et cetera. I'd like to say that we have 300 light language teachers worldwide in 27 different languages. And you can find on the lightlanguage.com grid, you can find a teacher near you, et cetera, et cetera, and enjoy it. So the concept is that our words and our thinking, they dirty. Someone says, Rich, it's $1 million, and someone says, $1 million can't buy you anything. Rich is $100 million, or chocolate, like me. You know, that's the first thing I think of is rich.
True.
So when you use light language, you ask the universe, you ask your team, you ask your higher self, you ask the helping angels and oversouls for exactly what you want. Many of the grids are written for esoteric things, for peace, for satisfaction. Instead of using the word hungry in the grid, we use that people in Hot Springs, Arkansas are satisfied, period.
Mm-hmm.
For me, satisfaction is one of the most powerful words. If I was satisfied, I wouldn't make war. If I was satisfied, I wouldn't fight with my husband. If I was satisfied, I would not be greedy. And I somehow years ago it came to light that this word, if people are fulfilled with this, then a lot of crimes, a lot of everything wouldn't happen, you know? So I was watching TV at the one of the consuls, the meetings in Switzerland, and two people had light language grids sitting up in front of their seats from different countries. And I feel that that was the moment I got it, that I got that I had done what I was supposed to do to spread it and teach it. And it's a wonderful, wonderful exercise, writing the grids, where you have to think of the color and the shape to match. And it has wonderful manifestations. I feel like it's a tool ahead of its time. If, you know how we get us light workers. A tool ahead of its time, you know. And it's remarkable that I could bring it into the country 30, 40 years ago and that it has spread all over the world. There are some great little articles and things on the website about light language, and you want to look for the Mayan kind because there's another light language where you tone and, you know, do channel sounds over people. And you can read a bunch of good free articles. So, what's the question for me today?
I love what you're talking about. That's wonderful that you can, you know, base a blue sound on sound healing. You can take that and turn it into a sound because I just went through a sound therapy class, but I'm loving what you're talking about because it resonates.
For every color, for for everything, you should have a file in your brain. If you're doing magic, you need the auditory, the kinesthetic, the hearing, the visual. You need the basic NLP files if you want a holistic picture of a color. Blue's blue, is the sky blue, light blue? That's not enough, because blue carries energy in all the senses.
Mm-hmm.
And for you, all the colors you learned when whatever you were working with, you would really, really benefit if you went in and figured out, what does pink sound like? Pink tastes like cotton candy. What does pink smell like? Bubble gum? You know, work with mm-hmm. your brain. The more files you have open in the brain, the higher your IQ is, the more wisdom versus knowledge. Wisdom is a sense of knowing the appropriate thing to do. And when you get to a place that you can say pink smells like bubble gum or chartreuse or something, for you, there's no right or wrong, but the consensus on the light language color is pretty much the same. If you're colorblind, you will define these colors in whole different ways. And looking at color, how you dress, what you buy, what colors do you see around a person? Even aura reading benefits from light language. And I think it's one of the most important things to learn, that if I want to get in my head about something, how to be in my head, thinking about the colors and the senses, feeling, whatever, and to do the exercise of writing the grid is one of the most beneficial. Most of the time we're in our head, it is non-beneficial on every plane, because we're not in the now. We're, oh, why did this person do this to me? Oh, I wish I could have a new car. You know what I mean? So writing the grid mm-hmm. for the different things helps you, and it helps the astral organize for your manifestation.
That's wonderful.
Okay. So I've been doing light language for decades. People have all sorts of strange, wonderful results. And of course, 10% of the time, there are no results. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I write a grid to say I want to be a millionaire when I'm not 100,000 year? You know, people don't understand the steps. If you're 100,000 year, you can write a grid to be a millionaire. But if you don't have $100,000 and you write a grid to be a millionaire, it's kind of going to stall out on you. And people, when they manifest cash, are told to ask for whatever they want. Yes, ask for whatever you want, but it's going to take steps to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So the light language grids help you and see those steps you need and benefit from working as fast as you can and getting it versus speeding it up, telling yourself it's coming tomorrow and interrupting your manifestation process over and over and over again. So I like that a lot.
That's good. That's good to know.
So I have a book. Really, I have 23 books, but I only have some in print. I have a book called Light Language by Star Fuentes. And that is mm-hmm. the very basic beginning, and I think you can buy it on Amazon. You can buy it off my website, you know, if you need to. So let's talk a little bit about what makes a light worker. What do you think makes a light worker?
I believe love and compassion, and then, you know, them. You learn the steps. As a healer, too, you know, you take certain classes that you're drawn to, and I think it's about loving people and having compassion also.
I agree with you. It's about loving people. And one of the things that I make my students do is to do community service when they first join me. Go to the food bank, help stock the food bank, cook, clean up the roads. And if you want to be a light worker, you have to do something in the earth world. And I ask people, well, what do you do? Oh, I sit in the attic, my mother's attic, and I say love, 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 and I spread it all over the world. And yes, that does spread love all over the world. But as a loving light worker, we need to help the other people. We need to help each other. And mm-hmm. I find that in very few practices are the students sent out to do community service. And that is so important in your spiritual practice that you do something to help, and I'm not going to say necessarily help the poor. You know, you can help children get glasses. There's so many, 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 many things to do out there. And once you do some community work, the level and the amount of people you're going to reach with your love somehow quadruples. And the softness around the light worker and the boldness of their colors and their aura impresses me when somebody does community service. And I know since COVID we've gotten away from that, and I would highly encourage people who are light workers to do some service in your community, do some service in the area that you had your biggest issue in. So I think that's very important, and
I agree.
Ran a two-year sexual abuse group with 200 women in it, and only 28 stayed till the end. And it's really, really interesting how much I got out of being the teacher, and I figured out that I was the student, not the teacher in that group. So please pay attention to your community. And I think that, you know, sending light language to the community is great, but I encourage all my students to get their physical body out and do something for the benefit of mankind. So that's a piece of light work that's not taught very often, even though we are taught to give to others. Yeah, so that's really important. And the thing that people are not getting right now, I think I have 105,000 people on my mailing list. And what I'm noticing that people aren't getting right now is the word working on. And my people tell me, I'm working on my whatever it is. And I says, tell me, how are you working on your stuff? Are you journaling? Are you in group? Are you seeing a counselor? Are you working with someone else? Do you have a stack of books by your bed on that top? Well, no, Star, I don't. But every day I work on it. And I go, well, how many times do you think of it? Two, three. Please remember that working on it is not just saying I'm working on it. Working on it involves physical steps that translate in the mind to intelligence, where you can take that intelligence, translate it into an education, and then wisdom. When you say you're working on something, this is the biggest hole right now that is sucking up energy from all the people I talk to from 30 sub-countries all over the world, but a lot right now here in the United States. What do you do? Do you go and arrange your crystals in a grid and meditate? Do you go play with your herbs? Do you visit your rock flower remedies? Do you visit an old workbook from an old class somebody taught you? What do you do when you're working on it? And by the way, lighting a candle okay, but it's kind of one grain of salt for a meal. So one of the things that is moving through the metaphysical and spiritual community is them saying the words, I am working on it, when zero, nada, nothing is actually physically energy expended. And I'm not quite sure how to heal this. You know, I say something very similar to what I just told you. And I'm turning over, you know, this technique, that technique. And I really haven't hit on a solution where people get it. And a year later, I see them, and they tell me they're working on it. And I have, what have you done physically? What time? What energy have you invested? Oh, every once in a while, I ask Saint Germain to take care of it. And it's even said flippantly and casually to me, when this is some of the most sincere things we can do, when we say we're working on someone, when we say we're working on it for ourselves, is to take those physical action steps so later on we can have the wisdom. And for 3 years from now, I asked you what you're doing, then tell me you're working on it. You're just working on it. I'm going to have to find something else to get your ass on it. You know what I mean? It's bottom line. You know, since, especially since COVID, this has been for me a very big challenge. So I thank you for the opportunity of letting me say this so people can hear this and work to correct it. Has that ever happened to you with some of your people? They say they're working on it, but nothing's going on.
Yeah, it has. And I like how you're saying, you know, what are you doing physically? You know, that's important too. You know, are you gritting? Are you, you know, looking at your herbs again? That was a good point.
Yeah, and to do that, you need to spend energy. To be working on something, you need to spend energy. And energy can be time. Energy can be money. Energy can be cleaning the church's floors, you know. Whatever it may be, understand that if you're working on something, find a way to spend time and energy on that particular subject.
Absolutely.
So what else do you notice going on in the metaphysical, spiritual community, the light workers community, that we need to work on?
I've noticed that there's some, you know, it's like they'll promise you something and then they don't follow through, kind of like what you said, no action. And there's some things that are happening, it seems, that are kind of like, people are negative to other people, and I like the nice community. Of course, you know, we have reasons to speak up and everything, but, you know, there's just a difference in the energies. It's like some are positive and they're working on it. Like you said, others are not very positive.
No, and a lot of psycho-spiritual people. You know,
yeah,
a lot of people have taken their energy and put it into talking and putting the power out there. And if the power is out there, you can't be responsible for your reality. So if it's government, it's blah, 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 you can't change anything. But if you bring the power back to you, you can change everything. So I've noticed that many, many good spiritual people have been caught up in the, you know, spiritual conspiracies, et cetera, and they're wasting their love and time and their prayer enforcing the conspiracy by talking about how bad it is. If you feed something, water grows. If you feed them shit, it still grows. Manure to rose,
right.
You know? And please don't believe everything you read on the internet. I'm sorry to put it that bluntly, but, you know, and do your research if you're going to do your research. So I think that's important. And I find that people are surrounding themselves with not alike people. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
oh, yeah.
If you're a spiritual worker, you end up going over to Zoe's house, who you don't like very much, once a week, so you can talk conspiracy. Or you haven't read a book. Or you haven't said a prayer. I have one girl now, she puts her feet on a gown and says prayers, 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 prayers. And she thinks that that is connecting with God and Source or the Masters. So pay attention to how your behavior has changed from 8 or 10 years ago. What choices did you make? How did your friends make these choices for you? Or did you make these choices for you? And I think it's very, very important to make decisions for ourselves with mm-hmm. appropriate homework. And I think something happened during COVID that just sort of whacked the whole astral plane on that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important to sit down and what do I really believe? You know, what am I going to let catch up my time, you know? The little lady next door, she writes every person, the tuna company, she didn't get a good can of tuna. She, all she does is write letters to see how much free stuff she gets. I tell her, you're a beautiful person. You're a wonderful person. Do this. Make me some cookies for this next event. And she'll do that. But she just can't get it herself. And I'm wondering what the blockage, I'm wondering what the healing is for people to start making decisions from their higher self, from their Tantian, from their gut, and sway that back a lot more where it was before COVID.
Right.
And I would love to see a group of 10 teachers get together and each write a chapter about the changes, the differences, the good, the bad, or the bad that gets good results or the good that gets bad results of what is happening now after COVID, how to correct some of the things that kind of went away with COVID in ourselves.
Right.
Yeah, so we have to be in the times. And holy moly, are we in the times? We've got two wars going on. And I ask myself, as above, so below, does this mean that many people on Earth have inner wars right now? As above, so below. Do I have to work on inner wars to heal the outer wars? I go back to the point where what I have to work on is satisfaction, and not my satisfaction, people's satisfactions. So they don't want somebody else's husband. They got $10 million. Why do they want $10 million more? And this whole realm of satisfaction, we lost it. You know, when I was younger and in my 20s and 30s, I treated myself. If I had a good week, I might go out to dinner. An ice cream cone was a treat. Today, everybody gets whatever they want, whenever they want. They don't have the cash. They put it on a credit card. There's no longer any accepting that we move forward. I get an ice cream cone any day I want now. Well, someone says to me, well, that's the way it should be. Well, maybe for an 85-year-old lady who's taught 60 years, but along our spiritual path, we take steps in our manifesting. And there's no longer any treating. There's no longer any rewards. Everybody in the kindergarten team gets a ribbon for playing the game, a trophy for playing the game. And I'm really concerned that people know when they're doing well for themselves and know when they are not well. My students, my 20-year-olds, have no idea. They don't like work.
Right.
You know, I didn't like work many a year. There were moments that I didn't like work. But I knew that to get to where I wanted to be spiritually, where I can walk into the bookstore and buy 100 or 200 books on a spiritual topic, dollars worth of books, and not worry about it. And we get to this place in our life where we choose to drop the things that matter to us, sit in front of the TV, watch ISCINSC, I don't know, CI, whatever, and sit there in a numb state, drink a beer, and go back to sleep and start over again. You cannot forget your connection to source. You cannot forget the promises you made yourself. And one of my new exercises is, what promises have you made yourself? And then we look around and see who's kept their promises, who hasn't, and we work with you. That is something for you to you can do right now. Write down the promises you met. And you can't say, I promised to take somebody to work, but then I got mad at them. Getting mad is about relationship and working that out. There are people who are leavers, and they leave any situation that they cannot handle. And in light language, we have certain colors that work with those types of people. And I think it's really important for the metaphysical light workers community to take stock a little bit now. We got two wars. We just came through COVID. Our tools are great. Are we using them? Do we remember them? What new tools do you have to pull out of your toolbox? And how do you have to behave? And that's the word behave. Behave, it tells you what you're going to have, how you behave or don't behave. Behave towards these new energies that are coming in. You know, a long, long time ago when I lived with my curandera teacher, Esperanza, she said, worry is prayer for something you don't want in your future. And she said, the more uncomfortable you become, the more enlightened you become. And I went, wait, why sitting on nails? And she says, well, not sitting on nails, it's your brain. When your brain doesn't know what to do, and you make choices and decisions in eighths and splits of a section, that is when you become enlightenment, because you are in new territory you have never been in before. I was like, wow, blow me away for decades, you know?
Yeah.
So what else is going on with you, your community? How can I help? How can I serve?
Exactly. That I like what you're sharing, because that makes so much sense about getting out there in your community, making a difference physically. You know, it's about the energies and keeping your vibrations high, which, you know, you shared a bit about earlier, too. So I love what you're saying.
I agree with you. And I agree that people aren't stepping up and saying, hey, why don't we clean the road? Hey, why don't we go over to that place that is building houses for the poor and see if they need any supplies? Maybe I'm too old to work on a house, but definitely I'm old enough where I have extra cash to give them for paint or something. Please go out in your communities where the muggles are. I don't care if they're not spiritual. They're the ones we're loving. They are our, well, I hate to be corny, but they're our flock, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And people don't touch their flock. They're so worried about themselves. And same old, I get a reading. Am I going to win the lottery? Where's my mate? And what is my path? And I'm looking for how do I help others? How do I spiritually grow? I get those questions. I'm looking to what do I need to change? But you're really, really, really uneducated if you do the same thing time and time again, expecting to get different results. And I see people doing it again. I see card readers that they read for themselves and they don't get like their outcomes, so they do 10 other readings. And I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm old. I don't have time to play with that shit. You know
right.
what I mean? I'm not going to let you come away and be flippant or be egotistical in the first 2 minutes you're with me. 20 years ago, I used to let that slide, see what you needed, work my way in there. Now, at my age, you have an appointment with me. First thing we're going to do is talk about, okay, why is that ego up? Okay, why are you afraid of me? Okay, what, you know, what's your secret? You're only as sick as your secret. And it's...
Absolutely.
That's you're only as sick as your secret. That is a big, big thing to look at. And people are so good at hiding their secrets. They're professionals at it. As a reader, as a consultant, you better be able to see, feel, know, hear those secrets in their voice or in the way they are, in the way that they are. So that's really an interesting part that the light community needs to address, is that we're wasting too much time asking the same questions over and over again and never listening to what anyone says to us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about your organization.
Well, I'm just meeting all kinds of different people, and just in the communities I've been around, I've noticed the same, you know, that we see people hiding stuff, that just what you talked about, you know, I've seen a lot of that going on.
And the people not willing to do their work. And then there's a new age group right around 30 that's coming in, and their eyes are wide open, and you tell them, sweep the floor, and they go, why? And I say, because I told you so. And then I teach
mm-hmm.
them how to be, to be do, be and do. You sweep the floor, every stroke, clean, clear, clarity, impeccable. And while you're doing something, your head isn't in your grocery list. Your head is sending energy to whatever you're doing. And being there means what? If you're cooking, every stir is a prayer. Health, vitality, whatever else, cash, whatever, romance, you know, success. And that everything we do, we need to be. And often, and yeah, I've been doing this for forever, and still I catch myself with my head wandering around someplace else when I'm doing something. And I have to call
mm-hmm.
myself back gently and be the energy that I want with whatever I'm doing. Is that complicated?
Doesn't
Do you get
sound
that?
I get that.
Okay. We have a class in the lineage called Secrets of the Mexican Shamans, and probably there's 800 teachers of that out there. Find that class somewhere, or leave me a note on my website, and I'll direct you to a teacher. And it teaches you how to do. And that is not means you are in a jazz band or a 50s band. It means that you're aligning your body with your spirit, with your commitment. And
that makes total sense.
It's important. It's even if you can only do it for four things a day and then tomorrow make it five, it's really important to do and be whatever we're committed, sweeping the floor, cooking, reading a book. Every page I turn deepens this knowledge. Every word I read helps me get the big picture. You know, I use all sorts of stuff. All sorts. I was taught so much, but then I've expanded it. But the other rule I have is that I teach things as they were taught for me. And I'll be teaching a healing method or something. Someone will raise their hand before they've even done it and say to me, can we change it to this way to make it more comfortable? And I'm like, no, you cannot change
you
a healing technique.
It.
You cannot change a healing technique you've never done just because it's going to make you more comfortable, et cetera, et cetera. You do the things as your teachers taught you. And people...
Absolutely.
People are diluting the teachings by leaving out the hard parts or changing the parts. You know, I got my teachings from masters in villages all over, you know, where I slept on the floor, slept in a hammock, slept on a wood mat, you know, no refrigerators for 13 years. And you get your teachers from you to teach it. You teach it that way. If you want to change it, you ask the teacher, but she's not going to let you change it.
No, they're not going to let you change it because you have to go through it to learn the lesson.
Yes, but also, I don't know what 1,000 years ago told them to put this finger movement into this technique, but they've done it for 1,000 years, so it must be important. I don't have to understand my refrigerator to use it. The neon and the Freon and the whatever, when I shut the door, the lights go. So I don't have to understand that. I just put things in there to preserve them, put things in there to be cold. I need to know how to use the technique. Understanding some of the techniques from Africa, I don't think I'll ever understand. And what I do understand is the results that they get in my clients. That I can understand, but if you go for understanding, you'll be here your whole lifetime seeking understanding. If you know it works.
It works, but you can't explain it exactly because you stand there in whatever situation with the teacher kind of going, okay, I'll do this and it works. And there's really no understanding. You just know it works.
Correct, and the knowing that it works is something that should spark your soul. And people don't need, I don't know why, but people are with the war, with the COVID, people are really lost to their place in the world, and your place is in your heart. Your home is with your higher self and you, and you've surrounded yourself with lessons and blessings. Everybody's got that relative or neighbor. Everybody's got a lesson teacher in your life. And you should, I said it is important to pay attention to your lesson maker as well as the people who love you. Your lesson maker. Yeah, you're going to chase your, you're going to marry the same man as your father if you haven't done your father stuff over and over again, you know, divorced three times. You keep marrying a man like your father because you've never done your mother-father work. Yeah, and we
and it's important to do it.
Yes. And, you know, we don't have a curriculum. Like universities have curriculums for people to choose. We got ads. We put out ads. We got word of mouth. How do you find your teacher? How do you find someone to fix this one thing? And someone, you know, a specialist in this area or that area. We're very loosely organized as a spiritual community here in the United States. So,
right.
Yeah, so we don't know where to go for help. So please, people, keep teaching your students about your friends, about fellow teachers, about all the good books, about whatever else, meditation, anything, any tool they need, herbs, crystals, Bach flower remedies, tuning forks, whatever strikes home with a person. The way to be with spirit, heal with spirit, there's no right way. We all end up at the top of the mountain if we listen to our higher self. What would you like to add before we leave here?
Well, we have three callers in queue, and we have a question in text here that says, can you ask, how do you know when you have outgrown your teacher?
Okay, would you repeat that? My dogs were barking.
No worries. It's okay. I love dogs.
Okay,
okay.
So we have an hour,
what,
right?
Yeah, we've got as much time as you need. And anything
thank
you,
you
want
sweetie.
To share.
And thank you for holding so much light to do this.
Well, I appreciate you being on. You've inspired me. So this Lady Healer Medium in the chat room is asking, can you ask, how do you know when you've outgrown your teacher?
Because you want to resist them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That it's a push-pull energy when you're really attracted to them, but all your stuff inside of your brain says that resist them. So it's a love-hate relationship, but mostly the more resistance you have, probably the better the teacher is for you. Do you have another question?
We have some callers. Do you want to take them now?
You want me to teach colors?
No, no, no. We have some callers, some people that called in.
Oh,
that
yes.
Want to ask
go ahead, please.
That
next
have their
question.
Hands raised. We have like three of them. And
well,
I can
next
take them
question. Go ahead. If you have
all
time.
All right, 310. You're on the line with Amanda and Star. How are you today?
Hi. How are you? This
good.
Is Vince.
So what's your
And I'm calling from New York. And I do have a question, but I wanted to just say something that Star was saying earlier, that defining rich and riches and everything. I used to work as a limo driver many, many years ago when I was living in Los Angeles. And I had a lot of wealthy and well-known actors and clients in the car. And 80% of the people that I had in my car that I drove around who were very rich financially, they were the most unhappiest and miserable people in the world that you could find. It was just unbelievable. And it was like everything except for finances was missing in their lives. So it was just unbelievable. And then, yeah, so I just wanted to point that out. You know, it's just unbelievable, the things I've seen. So, but my question is, oh, go ahead.
Okay, let me address that. I've worked with many of the Hollywood stars and big names and presidents of bullshit third world countries. I have a piece of sacred geometry called the Mobius Strip. That Mobius Strip, those people don't include the world. The Mobius Strip has two loops in it. And once I start working with them with that Mobius strip, they start considering other people. They start considering charities. I have had movie stars snort a line of coke during a reading.
Wow.
I mean, I have been disrespected and respected and loved by them, and you know exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I think if you were to read about the Mobius strip and the how it carries the energy, that's the figure eight that the magician has on his table in the tarot, that you would find 40% of your solution to working with these people. And if you need to call me later or whatever, I think at www.starfuentes.com, you and I can talk through it, what color to use, when and how. It would probably take an hour. And,
okay. All right.
And also, the Mobius works with really greedy, greedy, greedy people and with really, really, really people who don't speak to get them to say some words. So studying light language, you would learn about the Mobius strip. But for you just right now, you need to learn the Mobius, and we'll talk about that later. Thank you very much.
Oh, I did want to ask one question, though.
Okay.
Last week I had a job interview with a company called CanPack. They make cans for, like, the soda companies and breweries. And then tomorrow I have a in-person job interview with a dairy company, and this is the third interview I'm having with them. The first two were phone. So I'm wondering if either one of these jobs are going to come through.
What's the day today? Monday? Friday, I cannot tell how or what, you will have a job.
Okay.
These companies, and you're giving me mixed images of them. But I can look up your timeline and say, by Friday, you will have a definite yes from someone, okay?
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Star.
All right, thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you.
Blessings. Okay. Our next caller is area code 740.
Hello, Star. Hello, Amanda. Lovely to hear both of you ladies speaking today. I love your wisdom that you're imparting today, Star. My name is William.
What's the question?
Well, I've been, I guess, more self-teaching myself, but I looked on Amazon to look up your book for the light language, and looking forward to finding that a copy of that.
You can go to my website, starfuentes.com.
Nobody's really taught me. I've been self-taught everything. thanks to my higher self, the angels, and different ones that do connect with me now. I'm grateful for. But I just wanted to cheer you on today and hopefully connect at some point in time.
Yes, we will. And also, that thing you're afraid to ask about, there's work being done on that for you by your team, but you should expect after Thanksgiving some change on that. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Okay,
well, sweetie.
Well, the only thing I could think of would be my upcoming partner.
Okay, just know that there's something there for you.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yes, very much. Blessings, Star. Blessings, Amanda.
Thank you, William.
Connecting again soon.
Blessings. We have another caller. This is our last caller. It's area code 612. 612, you're on the line with Amanda and Star. How are you?
Good. Hi, Star. My name is Kathy, and I would like to ask you how I can be the most, well, I guess I have my son who has felt like quite a teacher. Would I be correct in that? We do have a lot of push and pull, but it seems to be getting a little bit easier. I've been trying to figure out why it's been so intense, because he's almost been narcissistic, and how I can make it better. I mean, just to keep working at things. I have a lot of love for him, and I lost his sister years ago.
Okay, I have an assignment for you. It may not sound like anything you want to hear, but I have found this to be a miracle changer. I want you to do 24 hours of silence. No listening to the radio, no phone, preferably minimal talk from people inside your house. And if you can get away for 24 hours, what all these voices and all these promises that were kept and not kept in your head, I want you to flush your whole system by not talking for 24 hours, not listening to any other voices. And when you do, after you do that at some point in time, I want you to call Amanda and tell her what was so different when you finished this, okay? I'm dealing, this is dealing with several issues of yours, okay?
Okay. I'm sorry. You were saying not listen to anything, Star?
Like the music on the radio or TV?
So total silence for 24 hours?
Correct. Anytime you want in the next 30 days.
Okay. I think the weekend would be better because then nobody's coming over.
Right.
Thank
right,
you so
sweetie.
Much. So that will help my mind to calm down. All right.
It will
you,
have
Sarah,
37 different things in you. And somewhere I have a handout. I don't know if I can find it right now. I've written 440 classes. But I know I've been doing this. I did 30 days of silence, and it changed my life. So
okay.
I want you to do the one day. And that's going to clear up all this chatter in your head, okay?
Thank you. I love you.
You're
thank
welcome.
You so much. You're very sweet. Thank you. God bless.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay,
bye.
We have one more. She has a question. She texted, but now she wants to ask something. 519, you're on with Amanda and Star. How are you?
Hi, Amanda Star. This is Jennifer.
Hi.
Hi. You spoke before about people having secrets. Now, is it possible that the person may not even know themselves what the secret is?
Let me think for a second. Repeat the question slower.
When you were speaking before, you were talking about people having secrets when they come to you for a reading. Is
yes.
it at all possible that they themselves don't even know what those secrets are?
The person cannot even know that secret sometimes.
Right.
So what is your question?
So how does that get in the way of the reading?
Okay, repeat that.
How does them not being knowledgeable about their secrets?
Okay, say for example, you were sexually abused and you repressed that memory. Or you built a little box around stealing your mother's jewelry. Or whatever you did with the neighborhood kid. Repressed memories. Can repress that memory around that time can repress everything good and everything bad that happened to that person. And that secret is there for you to handle when you have more mental tools, spiritual tools, emotional tools. That was planted when you didn't have enough tools to deal with it. And sometimes as a person does their personal and spiritual work, that secret will come, they'll dream about the abuse, the person will contact them that, you know, they stole with as a little boy, and that secret will come up if you're doing your work. And then there are secrets that you made a commitment never to think about again, so you don't think about them. So usually secrets come with a good therapist and with good spiritual teachers. Take about 8 months to a year to show up in their process.
Thank you. That's very helpful.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, that was our last caller. Thank you for being my guest today. Is there anything else you'd like to share? before we end?
Just my website, www.rfuentes. Amanda, thank you so much. And, you know, I've trained 5,000 healers, so if you run short of people to talk to, I got some numbers for you.
I appreciate you so much. Thank you for taking the time. Thank you for joining us. And if there's any events or anything else you would like to share, you may. And if
yes,
that's it, we're done.
I would like to do something about a year from now with you when I figure out this working on stuff and people doing when I, you know, when I get something together about how to heal this. And a year or so from now, I'd love to share that with you.
All right. Well, you're a blessing. I enjoyed listening to you back a couple of years ago when you were touring. I enjoyed your speeches. So thank you for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Blessings. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Human, there's a thought, now you decide. Compassion in the